A friend and I have been discussing beauty and what is it and who's beautiful. And she happens to be beautiful herself. But I've never been comfortable calling a woman beautiful or pretty or cute or anything like that. That anything that could be interpreted as superficial or shallow, you know, anything that would undermine her fundamental character. But it does remind me, though, the one time that I called a woman beautiful without any hesitation or any afterthought, and it was at a strip club, and I think it's the last strip club I ever went into. This was like 1993 or 94. And you go into these places, I think these places are nasty, I really do, but that's just me, to each their own. But I went into, it's one of these places where you go into a room and there's a glass between you and a woman on the other side, and I sat down, I saw her, and I was like, oh my God, you are beautiful. She really was. And as if to add to that, her already beautiful whole face, she lit up and she smiled and she said how much she appreciated the comment. And I guess I didn't know much about that kind of situation, but she probably didn't get that kind of comment very often, or maybe she did, I don't know. I don't know the culture of those type of places very well. I did date a woman for a while who said she used to be a stripper. I didn't know that at first, and I didn't have a problem with it when she told me, but over time it became, she dropped a bunch of other clues, but it became clear she did a lot more in the sex business than just that. And it just didn't work out for a lot of reasons. But she was unquestionably beautiful. Anybody that ever saw her and I together said it, like, dude, you scored. But it just didn't matter. It just doesn't matter in the end. I mean, a woman that you don't even notice at first, you wouldn't even look twice at her, can become beautiful in time, the same way that they say a bottle of wine tastes best when shared with others. All in all, though, it's beauty is a pain in the ass, especially when it is bestowed on somebody who is very much aware of the power and influence that it has over people. So, I'm off and about for the day. I got up a little late again, and I'm going to try to make the most of this precious gift of a day. It's pretty quiet out here. It's the day before Easter, so it's probably going to be pretty quiet all over today and tomorrow. I feel like I should say something more since I just deposited another quarter. This is, I had to call twice because this payphone didn't connect the call the first time. It did, but then it cut me off. That happens a lot. How many quarters am I going to blow on this endeavor? All right, out of here.
This is Lexington Avenue and 53rd Street. But I meant to say last time, I forgot, lost my train of thought, but speaking of beauty or lack thereof, I'm wearing pants that don't fit and a jacket that doesn't keep me warm, but I'll be all right. I don't really like the way I look these days. Just feel like I'm fading and melting. Feel like there's that moment at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where the guy's face melts. Feel like that's happening to me, but in ultra slow motion. I mean, I was never really a looker, but I was all right. Not something I thought about much. I used to be so thin, you'd think I had some horrible emaciation disease or emaciating condition. Now I'm pretty average, I guess, 160. So I ought to see myself in a mirror or in a reflection somewhere around here and say to myself, God, I look like a fucking slob. Wonder if that's why people look at me. Lately I've been noticing people more. I see farther down the street than I used to. Just to say, the gentle flow of street lights, traffic signals, more expansive to me now. The distance is open. And it's interesting because I make eye contact with strangers more frequently, and likewise, I just wonder what they think they see. Because we all talk to each other now. The phone booth has a homeless person's possessions to my right and that person sleeping on the sidewalk to my left. And maybe 10 or 12 bags of garbage also nearby.
So this is Times Square and 47th Street and Broadway. Anytime I come through here, I think of my former friend Gary, who was a friend from the neighborhood. Last I heard, he had a job around here dressing up as Superman or Spider-Man or something like that. When I heard that, I came through here the next day thinking I'd try and find him, but I discovered that there's probably a couple of dozen people dressed up as Superman or Spider-Man, and I wouldn't recognize him anyway because of that. But, you know, we were never buddies, but we spent a lot of time together for a while. He used to be a cab driver, and we smoked pot at the cemetery once. And, God, he always had the worst shit. The stuff just smelled and felt like dirt. And I don't really smoke pot anyway, but that was one of the more memorable encounters we had. But he became homeless at some point. A friend of mine said she bumped into him on the subway, and he was just full bore, the stereotype of a homeless guy. He'd always been a pretty well-kempt guy, as far as I can recall. But he, you know, he was bundled up on three layers of coats and smelled horrible. And, you know, his beard was all the way out. And she said, I mean, understandably, she was a little freaked out when he just walked up to her and said, hey, how you doing? But I felt bad for him. I mean, I sort of dropped him as a friend because he'd become just an annoying twat. But, you know, when you hear something like that, feel for the guy. He was a vulnerable soul, just like I am, but he just flipped out, apparently, when his mother died, or she actually kicked him out of the house, and then moved back to India, and then she died there, and she wasn't that old. So, I heard more recently that he got his shit together, and was renting a room in Flushing, and was working as Spider-Man, or something like that, one of these cartoon characters out here. And I was happy to hear that, and I can go back to think that he's an annoying fraud again. I heard this through a mutual friend of ours. She said she bumped into him on the subway and was like, ew, gross, this is icky. I'm going to try to get out of this conversation as fast as I can. No, it wasn't very nice. So this is 42nd Street and 8th Avenue, and it is really fucking crowded out here. The sidewalks are just shoulder to shoulder. This happens to be, I called earlier about the beautiful woman I met at that strip club, and I just happen to be right across the street from it now, or more close to it. But I think the place was called Show World, and I think that space is now called Satin Doll. The Playland next to it is the same as it's been forever. And I can't be sure, I don't remember for certain which of those two places the encounter happened, but it reminds me of another story, and I probably told this before, but I'll tell it again. It was at that same night that I went into one of the booths, and the curtain came up, and there's this naked woman sitting there, and she says, you know, you can go ahead and jerk off if you want. Most of the guys do. And I said, nah, you go ahead. You do your thing. And she did her thing for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. Just hurting herself and all that. And curtain came down, and I went back outside into the hallway, and I saw a dude with a bucket and a mop and the hot water, and didn't register with me right away what he was doing, but he was going room to room, mopping up the jizz stains from the dudes that did jerk off in those rooms. And he looked very unhappy. And for years and years, I thought, that is the worst job I've ever seen. I can't think of anything worse than that. I mean, you know, maybe dealing with corpses all day. I mean, sure, there are plenty of shitty jobs, but that one, if I ever thought I was in a bad work situation, I would just have to say to myself, well, at least I'm not the mop boy at Show World. But more recently, I discovered there are worse jobs, but I think the worst job I've ever heard of, recently at least, is they have these jobs in the State Department where you have to watch ISIS beheading videos. You have to watch them frame by frame over and over again to verify that they're authentic. And I don't think I could handle that, watching somebody be slowly killed like that. But that's a bad job. And in a similar vein, there are jobs at Facebook and places like that where you have to review all the offensive pictures that people report. So you spend all day looking at pictures of, you know, dead dogs or, I don't know, just disgusting shit. And that's got to suck. I would think they would assign people to that in Relay, but you can't spend all day doing that. But what do I know? Speaking of Facebook, I downloaded all my activity, which I've done before, but I never actually looked at it. And it's a little weird. There's some stuff in there that I wouldn't have expected. Like the exact latitude and longitude of my bed, for Christ's sake. And other things like that. But I did sort of naively think that if I deleted something from my timeline or from my profile page, that in fact deleted it from the record permanently, but it doesn't seem to do that. And I don't know what's happened with all this stuff, that Cambridge Analytica stuff. That I was skeptical of the influence that the fake news stuff had when I first started hearing about it, but when it gets down to that level, where they're just pummeling vulnerable people with ads that influence the president of the United States, the election of the president of the United States, that's pretty heavy shit, man. And there's got to be some kind of remonstrance coming, and I don't know where it's going to be. And where it's all going to go, but it's no secret in the data community that all this stuff is out there. All your stuff is out there. If somebody wants to get you, they can. It's just a matter of these people have become what you call ethical in their activities, and they don't go for the jugular. They take all the low hanging fruit they could get because there's just so much of it out there. So this phone booth has an opening, and I can see all the people crossing 8th Avenue and 42nd Street. And I can see the Port Authority from here. I'm going to go in there, find the bathroom, but because my destination is Penn Station, that's been my destination of choice these days. So now I'm over on, what is this anyway? 9th Avenue and 43rd Street. And it doesn't really matter, but I wanted to correct my previous call that Show World and Playland were not actually right next door to each other, and Satin Doll did not take up the Show World place. Show World's on the next block. I just couldn't see it from where I was standing inside that phone booth. So, and it also doesn't really matter which place it happened at, but just like to get the record straight once in a while, right? I'm going to ramble down 9th Avenue after I get through the Port Authority, and then I'm just going to enjoy Penn Station and think about something else to talk about here. I made it down to Penn Station and I took a train, and I tried to call in a trumpet player. who was playing at Port Authority. He was really good, and a good sound to record through a payphone, but as soon as I put the quarters in, he stopped playing. Well, I didn't say anything earlier, but I've been having a borderline anxiety attack for about the last hour, and I've also been having trouble getting downstairs, and I don't know if that's just getting older or something else, but I'm not really too worried about it, because I've barely eaten anything today. I had a half of a very bad sandwich, and just some fruit this morning, and that's been it. And it's coming up on 5 o'clock. Penn Station is a lot more crowded than I thought it was going to be on the day before Easter, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Sometimes I take what I call a panic pill. I carry them with me everywhere in case I need one, and I've had to take them like out when I'm out and about, and usually it goes away on its own, but I don't think anybody would, I mean, anybody that was out in the crowd of humanity that I was just out in would probably get a little claustrophobic, but although it didn't seem to be bothering anybody else. That's always what calms me down at times. Like, sometimes when if I'm going on a trip to a place I've never been, or if I'm going to a neighborhood I've never been to, I might feel some anxiety. And the only thing that calms me down, not the only thing, but something that will often calm me down is to just look at other people and realize that they're not freaking the fuck out like I am inside. And that's been therapeutic, remarkably therapeutic for me. This is Penn Station. It's one of the ugliest places in New York. Port Authority's not exactly picturesque, but and Port Authority is somehow that seems to be a place you cannot sanitize. There's always people, you know, slouching over garbage cans or sitting around in a pool of their own piss. It just seems like you cannot sanitize that area. And I use the term sanitize, you know, I'm not saying it should be sanitized, I'm saying that's the sort of thing politicians like to do, or that's the sort of thing that rich people like to do, or the stampede of wealth demands that we sanitize all these things that we say we don't want to see. Well, I'm a little less confident in the call quality of this particular phone. This is, I don't know what do you call this, it's in one of the corridors. The one last time was in the LIRR area, Long Island Railroad. This is next to a Carlton Cards store, which is closed, and across from Le Bon Café, established in 1999. And Rose's Pizza and Pasta, and Charlie's Philly Cheese Steak, and I think that says Max Southwest Grill. That's what I can see around me. Just a whole lot of people, too. I've always hated this place. It just feels like the weight of the world is on top of you when you walk in here.